أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing with our look at Quran City, and we're focusing on Qasam place. Today we will look at Surah number 86, which is Al-Tariq, translated as the brilliant star or the night visitor. The word Tariq comes from taraqa, which is to strike or to pound. Tariq is specific to those who traveled at night. Travelers pound the ground to travel. They strike doors to open them at night. A hammer which pounds or condenses or compresses is known as mitraqa. In addition, it could refer to a star. And as Quran says, thaqib, a piercing star, which is on a nocturnal journey or movement. Tariqa is the path that those who walk upon make. The word also means the sound of the feet of a person walking in the dead of the night. So taking all this into account, let's start off with the first section, which is really the oath of the sky and the brilliant star. And Allah says, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ. I swear by the sky and Tariq. Now, Sama here is everything which is above. It's different from Samawat, which is seven heavens. So the implication of the oath is that the sky is a witness with this brilliant camera of this brilliant star called Tariq. It may be Saturn, as Imam Sadiq says. He says it is Saturn which appears in the seventh sky, but its light passes the skies and reaches the first sky. That is why Allah has called it the star of piercing brightness. Saturn is the last and furthest star to us in the solar system, which is visible simply by the naked eye. And from amongst the planets of the solar system, it's the sixth in distance from the sun. But if we count the moon's circle, it'll be the seventh. So Imam Sadiq has considered its circle as the seventh sky in the hadith I mentioned. Then Allah repeats, وَمَا أَدْرَاقَ مَالطَّارِقِ. What will make you understand what At-Tariq is? And such a rhetoric question is asked to be able to give an answer to something not known. And then Allah continues, An-Najmu Thaqib. It is a brilliant laser-sharp star. So the dark night is like a cover, and the Thaqib pierces through vast distances. Remember, stars were guiding mechanisms, and the Quran gives different aspects of looking at that phenomena of guidance, and of exposure and of being watched. So the implication of this oath of the sky and the brilliant star is that the sky is a witness and the star has both guidance or guiding mechanisms and recording mechanisms. So we're looking at the journey of light from the brilliant star. Now let's look at the next section, which is an interesting parallel to the previous one. Here we find the origin of the human being, his return and the exposure of secrets. But it starts off by saying, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خَلِقَ. So let the human being reflect upon that from which he has been created. خُلِقَ مِمَّاءٍ دَافِقٍ. He was created from a gushing fluid. In the latter section, we saw Thaqib describe the existence of a piercing force of light advancing in the universe. And this describes the creation of the human being from forcefully flowing reproductive fluid, which impregnates the ovum. Allah continues saying, يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْنِ السُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ. The fluid begins with the sulb, that which is hard, the spine, and the chest bones, which is taraib. In other words, the sperm is the final outcome of a process of combining the body's hard and soft substances. And then Allah says, إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجْئِهِ لَقَادِرِ. No doubt he is in complete control of its return. See, the fluid enters into a woman as inanimate. It comes out as a human being. So there is no doubt that he can return the human being after death back to life again. And then the focus of the surah. يَوْمَ تُبْلَ السَّرَائِرِ. The day on which the deepest secrets will be laid bare and put on trial. In other words, the day on which secrets will be tested, completely exposed. Sarira is really well-guarded secret. And here Allah says, absolutely everything will be exposed.
In essence, these are all metaphors to impress upon us that all our deeds are recorded and will stay with us forever. And finally, in this section, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ, when a person will have no power of his own and no protector. No one will be able to help us on that day, and we will not have the strength to do anything. And now the third section. And here the focus is that the Qur'an is not to be taken lightly, and the reality of those who deny divinity. It starts off with two oaths. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ, I swear by the sky. In other words, I swear by everything above that has a feature of return. And this refers to the rain cycle, the rainwater cycle, the radiation, the seasons, the four perpetually recurring seasons. And then he says, وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ, and the earth, the ground that splits. So the earth possessing the feature of tearing open. Water penetrates the earth. Its seeds germinate and grow when the earth opens. Another aspect of impregnation. So it parallels human creation with plants. And then the Jawab al-Qasam, the subject of those oaths. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ, indeed it is truly a decisive word. Fasl is to separate in order to distinguish. Rain from the sky gives earth life, just as revelation gives the soul life. And then he says, وَمَا هُوَ بِالْحَزْلِ, it is not something to be taken lightly. In other words, it's not at all in any way that which doesn't produce anything productive. It's not useless speech. It should lead to decisive action. It's not entertainment. It's not vain talk. Hazl is something that is weak, something that is incapable of doing anything productive. The Quraysh of Makkah used to mock the Quran, calling it entertaining talk. And Allah concludes with the reality of those who deny divinity and His message. He says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا, they are plotting a scheme. Preoccupied with the affairs of their earthly lives, they scheme to achieve their objectives and ignore these warnings. وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا, and I too am laying a plan. And this is a consolation to the Prophet. Divinity is going to take care of all their plots. And finally he says, فَمَحِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا, give those who deny some respite, some time. Be gentle with them. تَمْهِيل is to give an extension to a deadline. So in other words, he's saying, so give an extension to those who deny divinity. Let it go. رُوَيْدًا is just a little bit more time. And he's saying, in other words, don't get too busy in avenging. I will sort them out. There is no need to quarrel or argue with them. And it's not important how long the respite lasts, because compared to one's eternal life, it is shorter than the blink of an eye. And the gentleness, the reprieve, was not given so that the Prophet could turn his back on them, but rather it was a kind, benevolent gesture to give those who covered up the truth more time to turn towards Islam. The Prophet never treated anybody with disrespect or contempt. So the phenomenal part of this ayah is that when those who were aggressive towards him addressed the believers in such an unjust manner, the response was with a peaceful gesture and words. So in conclusion, we start off with the oath of the universe's grandeur and the journey of light from this brilliant star. And then it shifts from the macrocosm to the infinitely small microcosm world of a single cell, which is the origin of a human being, and the concept of his return, when all his secrets will be laid bare and tested. It concludes with the decisiveness of the Quran, which distinguishes truth from falsehood, and tells the Prophet that he should let go of the stubborn deniers and allow them to follow their ways, because the natural laws of divinity that govern the world will treat them in the same manner. However, he was still responsible for reconciling with them and attracting them to his message. History shows us that it was this character of the Prophet that guided such people to Islam. It was his personal nobility, his behavior and his mannerism, all guided by divinity, that drew hearts closer to him. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to have this nobility of character, to be able to ponder over this journey of the light from the sky and the journey of our origin, and to be cognizant of the fact that there will be a day when our deepest secrets will be exposed and put to trial. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم.